May the Lord help us to commence this evening's service by singing hymn 132, tune 171. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. Hymn 132, tune 171.
Whose love and read together from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 107, the 107th Psalm. I give thanks unto thee, Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. And they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. So that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. There he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Dear Lord, we seek thy presence. Look down upon us as we are gathered a few in thy holy name. We have immortal soul, passing through time to a never-ending eternity. Many of us, Lord, the larger part of our lives are behind us. And gracious God, thou knowest how much we need thee. Thy blood and righteousness are vital to us, if ever we're to stand in thy immediate presence on that right hand of the throne. And gracious God, thou seest us altogether sinful creatures, with our fallen and ruined natures that love darkness rather than light. Yet we hope we can come in with thy dear servant when I would do good. Evil is present with me. How to perform that which is right I find not, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death. I thank Christ, Jesus Christ my Lord. And thou knowest, Lord, the temptations of the wicked one, the fiery darts, the solemn tinderwood of our fallen nature. Yet, gracious God, we come to thee and pray for more grace, to be enabled to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, look down upon us and strengthen us with all might in the inner man. Wash us, cleanse us in the fountain of thy precious blood from all sin and iniquity. And oh, grant us grace, more grace, to run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, its author and finisher. Come this night, we pray thee, and grant the Spirit's gracious work in the heart, taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them in the hearts of those who have a need. We have read of that blessed quietness, thus they be quiet. The guilty conscience, cleanse, peace known in the soul, prayer heard and answered. We read of the beauties of those cries, and thy goodness in answering them. That mercy that endureth forever, that redeeming love and blood, the very access at the mercy seat. Lord, we would know it again and again. Prove the beauty of that hymn made so sweet to us many years ago, when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. But Lord, I know there's so much over the years, daily, hourly, to mourn over. And yet, we would be taken up in thy arms of love and mercy. We would be kept by the mighty power of God, kept from ourselves, kept from that solemn fallen nature, kept in that straight and narrow way. And Lord, we would know the presence of God and the peace of God. And we would know a broken and a contrite heart. Lord, we would know thee near. We would commune with thee. We would seek the light of thy presence. O Lord, that is peace. That is quietness. And we have read of the storms and the tempests. Lord, we believe in the journey we have known some mighty storms and tempests. And yet, we read of that great calm on Galilee when thou didst speak. And there was a great calm. Lord, we have proved it in the pathway. And thou dost grant the calming of the way. We have proved it again and again. And thus, he bringeth them, we read, to their desired haven. Beautifully the psalmist spoke of the journey. He led them forth by the right way. Not, thou knowest, the way we would choose, yet encompassing that straitened, narrow way, encompassing that blessed truth, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, the grace, and he delighted in his way, God's way. Thy way, not mine, said one dear Saviour, still lead on, nor leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. We do it best, but taste the cup. But thou alone hast drunk it up. Lord, as the realities of eternity are before us each, so we pray for the reality of that mighty arm put forth to save thine own. Oh, may we know those everlasting arms underneath. May we know that mighty foundation, the eternal God, is our refuge. Lord, we are compassed about. The great cloud of witnesses who have gone before, some near and dear to us, many whom we have known and loved in the bonds of the everlasting gospel. They fought a good fight. They finished their course. They're now with thee. And all we follow on in the flesh. And all how we seek the same grace. The all sufficient grace of our God that opens our ears, opens our eyes, gives us that precious gift of faith, brings us to thy mercy seat, gathers us out from the north and the south and the east and the west. Lord, we pray for the ingathering of that blessed harvest of immortal souls. I said they shall come, gathered by thy irresistible grace, brought to thy heavenly kingdom, given the eye of faith to see thee, the eternal God. They would say to Peter, blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. Or may that sight and that hearing be known, and may there be a sweet realization and a knowledge that thou art our God, and that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, pardon our unbelief. Our hearts are full of it. Temptations beset us on every hand. We are a feeble folk, Lord, thou knowest. And yet, there is a path. The apostle knew it. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And Lord, we would know in our infirmities that sacred power of Christ in our hearts, our feet standing upon that good foundation, other foundation, can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, grant that we may know thee, the eternal God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and lead us in those paths of his righteousness, and teach us. And Lord, we would know nearness and access to thyself. Thou said regarding a lack of it, the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, and his arm, neither his arm shortened that it cannot save, but your sins and your iniquities have come between you and your God. O thou who seest all things and knowest all things, Lord, we pray for more grace, to be able and enabled to walk more worthily of thee, that we may be enabled to commune with thee on the mercy seat. No precious access which we trust we have known in times past. Lord, others have walked the way. The Cooper said, where is the blessedness I knew when first I met the Lord? Where are the soul refreshing views of Jesus and his word? And Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near. Oh, grant that we may be kept a solemn outward profession of thy name, not know the kernel of truth in our hearts. And let us lead thy dear church in that right way. We see it in that psalm we have read, trouble affliction, iron, storms, the pathway, and all in thy hand to bring her to cry unto thee, and to enter by experience into thy mercy. That blessing of God, so utterly undeserved, prayer heard and answered, deliverance, healing, pardon, to be known in the soul. And Lord, we need it. Come to these guilty sinners, double-dyed sinners, so often they know it, sins against light and knowledge, hard hearts, indifferent, neglecting prayer and the reading of thy word. We feel it again and again. Lord, you know it. In the reading of thy word, little light to shine upon it, application, power. And when we come to the mercy seat, Lord, oh, how we would commune with thee there. Come on us this night. Lord, grant there may be something profitable. Lead us into thy holy word and that deep which couches beneath. Lead us into the sweetness of it. Thy word is sweeter than the honeycomb. We believe we have proved it. Lord, lead us this night to see those blessed things in thy word, and to feed upon it, to be taught, to be given grace and wisdom and understanding, that we may be enabled to rest in thyself, to roll every burden upon thee, to be still and know that thou art God, to come where the dear man came, the psalmist, whoso is wise, will observe these things. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and be as redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Lord, thy work is a finished work. It was accomplished on Calvary. It is done. And oh, we pray that thou wilt reveal the mighty fruit of thy sacrifice in the gathering in of immortal souls, into a knowledge of the truth, the communion with thyself, into a preparation for a never-ending eternity. Oh, may there be, Lord, the work begun in you. And may there be the fruit of it in years to come. For they are solemnly declared regarding thy saints, by their fruits ye shall know them. And Lord, thy work is here a little and there a little, a hidden work. But there is a growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. It is through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom. And Lord, we pray for grace to consider him in the pathway he walked, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lord, may we look to thee. Touch our hearts then, Lord, this night. Anoint our lips. Grant that unction of the Holy One. Touch our lips with the live coal from thy heavenly altar. May thy holy word drop as the rain and distill as the dew. May there be gracious effect. Hearts soften, godly sorrow and repentance, nearness and access to thee. Lord, it is a power we desire. That blessed hidden power, the wind bloweth. Oh, may the wind of the Spirit blow this night. And may that blessed work be accomplished. Immortal souls gathered out of nature's darkness to thy marvellous light. Dear Lord, look upon all in sickness and affliction. Support and sustain thy dear people. Thou knowest all things. Nothing is hidden from thine eye. All events at thy command. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And in the pathway of thy dear church, an ordering of the steps, a pathway in which thy voice is heard, and there is a listening ear. A pathway, Lord, in which a cry is generated in the soul. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Brought to a place where there is no rest except in thyself. O grant, Lord, that foundation, peace, resting in thee, thou alone canst give it. Look down, Lord, upon all thy aged people. Remember them before thee. On the prodigals who have gone out from the midst, we pray for them. O gracious God, almighty power belongeth unto thee. Thou art able to restore prodigals to their wonted place. Bring them back to their father's house. To teach. Lord, we pray that they would so open their eyes that they may come to see the solemnity of where they are. In a foreign land, in a godless world, deep in darkness, may they come to see the emptiness of the husks of this world and be brought to seek their father's house. Lord, look down and grant that divine restoration which alone is in thy hand. Once again we pray for our nation and all its heathen darkness. Lord, we have seen in this little sanctuary of God so many of thy dear church gathered to glory over the years, whom we have known and loved, and who are gone before. And Lord, we pray that thou raise up a following generation. Look upon the little ones that are brought in here. Raise up a seed to serve thee. Look down in thy rich mercy upon thy servants as they go forth in thy name. Remember thy dear servant here this night. Grant him fresh anointing as often as he stands up in thy holy name. And oh, may he be enabled to sow into you. And Lord, thou hast promised that thy servants will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Who is as blind as thy servant, blind to the work thou hast sent them to do. They know not which will prosper, but they know it. Hidden from their poor eyes because they might be exalted. Lord, there are times when thou dost favour them with a glimpse of the fruits of their ministry. Lord, look down then upon thy servants, and thou seest the need that other servants be raised up. We pray thou wouldst do it. Raise up other servants to preach thy holy word. May they be such as have the blessing of Asher, have dipped their foot in oil, and are made acceptable to the brethren, who can enter in to the footsteps of the flock, who've learnt in the solemn and sacred path of experience that right way. Lord, look down then, we pray thee, upon the churches. Be with the land, we pray for it. Queen, the Prime Minister, his cabinet and parliament. Oh, the godlessness of our rulers. The heathen darkness they walk in. Yet, thou remainest. And the hearts of all men are in thy hand. Preserve our national independence, our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. Down upon us as a guilty nation under thy judgment. Oh, the solemn and awful wickedness of our drug culture, our permissive society, the murder of the infants in the womb and abortion, break up of the homes, promiscuity, Lord, the evil. We pray that thou would yet appear and have mercy upon us. Now, Lord, we look to thee once again. Thou hast drawn near, and touch our lips to the live coal from thy heavenly altar, and fill our earthen vessel, as we seek the anointing of thy Spirit, and pray, but bless thy word this night and apply it. We ask for the pardon of every sin for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1083, tune 1, 2, 4. My God, my Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Hymn 1083, tune 1, 2, 4.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, direct your attention this evening to Psalm 107, reading verse 7. Psalm 107, reading verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great leader of his people, and he has led his people. He has come here into this earth, taken into union with his deity, holy, spotless body and soul, and has walked out the pathway of his dear church. He's gone before them. He is the good shepherd who leads his flock. And when his people come to the mercy seat to cry to him, they come to one who has walked this earth, entered into its suffering, sorrow, known darkness here below, known what it is to feel deserted of his Father, walked in the path of suffering, and passed through the gates of death, risen again and ascended to his Father. He has walked out every one of the steps of his dear church, from the cradle to the grave. And we see here the beauty of this word, he led them forth. You know, that word forth speaks of time and eternity. It speaks of a godless, fallen human nature and bringing a poor sinner out of darkness into his marvellous light. It speaks of them being led forth to heaven, to himself. Oh, the mighty issues of life and death and time and eternity which lie here in this word. And when we come to look at the right way, Scripture says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. The end is death. Oh, this way is a divine way. It's God's way. The psalmist speaks of it. He leadeth me. Can we look back in our pathway and have a hope that God has led us and that he has brought us into this right way, this way that leads to heaven, this way that leads to himself? The words he spoke to his dear disciples were heavenly commandment, and they were these: follow thou me. And should we think it strange that this right way is a way of trouble, affliction, temptation, all that is spoken of here in this 107th psalm is encompassing the right way? It is not the way we would choose. We would not walk out the pathway of Christ. He was despised and forsaken, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Left to ourselves, we would choose the easy way. But no, the Lord says through the lips of his servant the Apostle Paul, through much tribulation he shall enter the kingdom. He said when he left his disciples at the Last Supper, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There is no greater blessing than to have our eyes opened, to understand what the right way is. It is the way, as the scripture speaks here, that leads to heaven. A city of habitation. A place where we read of in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. The door was shut. What was the effect? Why, it was this. The foolish were shut out, and the wise were shut in forever. What a solemn, solemn truth lies there. And we shall only enter in as we are led by the great shepherd himself, as he leads us. And regarding him, the scripture says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And as we come to this word tonight, we desire to look at this right way, and look at the leading, look at the person who leads, the power of our God, the effectual call of our God. We come to look at this tonight. We would desire that our hearts may be searched and we may be brought to ask ourselves, what do I know of these truths? What do I know of this leading? What do I know of this effectual call? What do I know of this good shepherd? Have I heard his voice? Have I been brought to follow him? Because if we have not heard his voice, if we have not been called, if we have not been led, not being led by him, we shall never reach that city of habitation. Beautifully spoken of here as that abode of the righteous. Spoken of later in this psalm in that simple language thus, he bringeth them to their desired haven. And what was the path to their desired haven? It was this, the mighty storm. Stagger to and fro like a drunken man, their wits end, tempted all hope to resign. And it was this, the pathway of prayer. And this prayer, the cries of the heart to God. I find the description of prayer here very blessed. Scripture speaks of prayer. It speaks of supplication. It speaks of cries. The ultimate are cries. And we hear the cries of God's elect. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We hear the cries of God's elect. O Lord, I'm oppressed, undertake for me. Something of these cries and the power of them lies in their simplicity, their brief prayers. They come from the heart. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, what will they have me to do? These prayers which come up out of the hearts of God's dear children. He led them forth. We would look at the ones who are led forth. They are spoken of in the first verses of this psalm. The psalmist says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know, Christ died on Calvary's cross. He died for his whole church. Every elect vessel of mercy, every member of his body. Of those, he said in his prayer at the Last Supper that thou hast given me, I've lost none. And he said, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is those for whom he died. That number which no man can number. It's those he leads forth. And we read of them here in the psalm of the pathway that the redeemed walk in. They're gathered people. They're gathered out of the world. They receive an effectual call of God. Like the apostle speaks of it. Come out, he said, from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. How solemn. Can we look back to that gathering? Can we look back to that effectual work of God in our hearts, which has drawn us to himself and brought us to his mercy seat? He gathered them. Lovely expression. Shepherd gathers his sheep together when the night comes on. He has a fold for them. God's people are a gathered people. Gathered by the mighty work of the Spirit. There's one fold, says Christ, and one shepherd. They're gathered into that fold and into that under that shepherd. He gathers them by that effectual call, and he brings them to himself. Or what can we trace of that work in our own pathway? Can we look back over the way when we wandered in the wilderness? And we read of them here. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul faded in them. We look back in our own pathway. We wandered in the wilderness. The wilderness of this world. In its darkness. Oh, the divine work of God that brings a sinner in that wilderness of this world to be hungry and thirsty. Wandering in a solitary way, an evil way, in a way of darkness, the Lord opens the eyes. We spoke of the prodigal in prayer, came to himself. He came to realize the husks that the swine did eat. And he came to that blessed place, hungry and thirsty. He said, I'll go to my Father's house. What grace of God is manifested in that pathway of the prodigal. that brought him to turn again to his Father's house. Part of that blessed work of gathering his flock to himself. And they were wanderers in the wilderness of this world. And the Lord brought them to be truly hungry and thirsty. And here we see the nature of this effect on them. And it was this: prayer. We read, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. It was spiritual trouble. It was loneliness, isolation, a solemn realization of eternity and the holiness and majesty of God. Wilderness wanderers, as taught by the Spirit of God, can be very rebellious, angry against God. But they're brought to cry to him. They're brought down at the footstool of mercy. The Lord will subdue them. Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, shows just this pathway. Pilgrim brought out of this world of sin and darkness, this wilderness, hardly knowing where to go, but brought to cry, life, life, eternal life, and to leave everything behind, gathered, and led in that right way. When we look at it here, they cried unto the Lord, prayer in their trouble. They knew not where they were, felt condemned before God, they felt lost. They were brought under his holy law to know they were sinners, fallen and ruined in his sight, condemned in their own feelings, under the wrath of God. And yet, he led them forth. And in answer to their prayers, Lord, help me. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And this beautiful word that lies here, and it's repeated again and again in this psalm, trouble. Soul trouble. Spiritual trouble. Poverty, emptiness, ruin, condemnation. Exercise of soul, concern regarding a never-ending eternity. Feeling cast out and condemned. Double-dyed sinners against light and knowledge. And the Lord brings them to this place. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Led them forth. Oh, the pathway of being led forth from this wicked world. And it's not just the outward world of evil. Why, there are many who have never left the churches. They need to be led forth. They do. Out of a solemn empty profession of his name. They need to be led forth and brought forth into that right way. And we see here the Lord, and what we have in our text tonight is a answer to prayer. He led them forth in the right way. And you know, firstly, it is to Calvary's cross. Firstly, it is to the blood of the atonement. Firstly, it is into the sweet knowledge of redemption. It's the redeemed of the Lord, led forth to that blessed redemption. We read of it in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, can we trace that step in our experience, what it is to be led forth to the Redeemer. Job said, I know he was led forth, and he could say this, I know that my Redeemer liveth. How sacredly right is this way. All other ways lead to death. To be brought to Christ is the only way to glory. To be brought, as the psalmist speaks, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide where? Under the shadow of the Almighty, that is Christ. Oh, to be brought there. Lord, we may say this, if we're led by him, then the way must be right. It must. And the Spirit leads the dear people of God in their fallen condition, in their ruin, to Christ. This is the way Bunyan's pilgrim was directed by evangelists. Seest thou yonder shining light? He said, I think I do. He cried under the weight of his sins. Fell into the slough of despond, knew darkness and temptation and sorrow, and a load upon his back of sin. He was directed to the wicket gate and to Calvary's cross. And he entered into the blessed experience of that right way. There was a blessing in it. It was this, thy sins are forgiven thee. It was this, a robe of righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ. It was this, the sealing of the Spirit in his heart, that he was a child of God. Three glorious blessings. This is to walk in the right way. He led them forth, out of the city of destruction, by the right way, that is, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know him, whom the scriptures say to know is life eternal. Now, when the poor sinner has wandered far and is brought into this right way, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There is blessed gratitude, thanks for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. The psalmist, as he wrote this, was speaking of his own experience. He had walked this way. He knew it. He'd come to know the redeeming love and blood of Christ. He'd entered into that lovely hymn, Redeemed, with Jesus' blood redeemed. His beauty is called to trace. No angel can with it compare. A sinner saved by grace. What do we know? Being separated in this world by a mighty divine power, and being brought under the load of sin and guilt to Calvary's cross, there to know the application of that precious blood upon our hearts. True religion is more than notion. True religion is not in the head, it's in the heart. True religion is not ideas about God, it's the blessed experience of him. Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. John the Divine speaks of the things that he'd handled, tasted, seen of Christ, the good word of life. It wasn't the outward man he looked upon. I speak reverently of Christ in his life. It was to see him as the eternal Son of God. And he saw him in that way in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and Christ was revealed to him in all his risen glory. He saw him on the Mount of the Transfiguration when he spoke with Moses and Elijah, but he had a blessed sight of him. Peter had that same blessed sight Thou the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus spoke of that revelation, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, have we heard his voice? Do we know his redeeming love and blood? Do we know the fruit of that, the peace of God which passeth all understanding? Have we a hope tonight that not only he has led, but he is leading? He led them forth. Are we led of Christ? We cannot be led of him unless we've heard that irresistible call of his grace, the effectual call. But when the Lord calls, follow thou me, then he leads his dear people in that right way. He leads them to Calvary's cross. He's gone before them here in this world, and he knows the path that they take, tempted in all points, like as we are yet without sin. He has compassion upon them. He leads them to the blessed place that is spoken of in the prophecy of Isaiah, sweetly and experienced, to say, surely it borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. If we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded. Oh, to be led forth in that right way. It is to be led to the place where Christ is revealed in our hearts as the hope of glory. It is to be led to that place where our feet are put upon that rock, Christ Jesus. It is to know the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, God only wise. It is to hear his voice here below, and it is to know the application of his precious blood. Here is the only right way. He that hath the Son, in the sacred experience of it, John the Divine says, hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Have you a knowledge of the Son of God? Have you been brought to know him? The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, said that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, having fellowship with him in his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What a prayer. What a blessed prayer. He led them forth by the right way. And you know, there is first the path of justification, and then the path of sanctification, and then the path of glorification. And this psalm very largely deals with the path of sanctification. It's the redeemed of the Lord that are spoken of here. And what are they like? Why, as this psalm goes on, we see their fallen human nature. They're rebels. They despise God. They're fools. All the description here of the redeemed of the Lord. They were wilderness wanderers. They were out of the secret until the Lord brought them out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light. But here we see the divine work of God, the mighty power of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in sacred union in their work, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. The redeeming love and blood of Christ manifest on Calvary's cross, and the work of the Holy Spirit in his effectual call and leading to Calvary's cross of the sinner. Oh, what a sight we have here. He led them forth by the right way. And you know, as we look through this right way, what a solemn way it is. Have you ever called yourself a fool? And felt to be an utter fool? And a fool because you knew what was right and you didn't do it? What folly. Oh, the nature a poor fallen man. The Apostle Paul in the 7th of Romans speaks of the solemn conflict of the new man of grace and the old man of sin. He says the nature of the folly he speaks of. That which I do I allow not. And he says this, what I would, that I do not. And what I would, what I hate, that I do. Oh, the foolishness. And then he sees the conflict in the soul, in the powers of sanctification. That there is a great inward conflict. And it's the right way. It's the right way. The Lord brings his dear people down to understand and know the foolishness of their nature. He brings them down. Such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God. His people, rebels. They didn't like the way. We think of Jonah. He was a minister of God, but he wouldn't go where the Lord sent him. He went about evading God's word and God's commandment. Oh, the folly of it all. And that is poor fallen man as he walks out. And this is the redeemed of the Lord, God's dear children. We see the nature of Peter, the revelation he had of Christ within a short period, he was denying him with oaths and curses. We see the psalmist David penning the most sacred psalms, then going into murder and adultery. And we could go on. Oh, the rebellion in the hearts of God's dear people, the disobedience. And what does the Lord do? Leave them? Turn his back on them? Abandon them? There's a word in this psalm, you know, and perhaps it's very blessed in your experience. His mercy endures forever. One of the psalms here has that in alternate verses. My late father said on one occasion that when he was a boy and that psalm was read, he thought that a lot of it was superfluous. It was quite unnecessary. And he was old and dying of cancer. Such had been the sight of his sins and the weight of them that he said it wasn't repeated enough times for him. His mercy endures forever. And you know, throughout this psalm, he led them forth by the right way. It is the way of mercy. It is the way of his covenant, his faithfulness. He chastised, but never forsook, the people that he chose. His love them with everlasting love, but his love does not exclude him from chastening them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Can you observe the chastening of God in your life? Oh, poor fallen nature needs such heavy weights to bring it to cry. And we see it here in the psalm. The psalmist went through some dark places, sat in darkness in the shadow of death. And why? Rebellion. And what did the Lord do? Brought down their heart with labour. They fell down and there was none to help. The Lord acted. He moved in their lives. And it was in love. But he brought them down. He didn't crush them. But he dealt with them. And he died. Solemn places in life's pathway that the Lord will speak to his dear people. It's a truth that God's speaking to his people is a very sacred and solemn matter. Much religiousness in the world treats it as though it's light and easy, as though God speaks words every hour of the day, but he doesn't. It's in the valleys of tribulation that he speaks to his dear people, that he gives them the precious, exceeding great and precious promises are applied to their hearts. If I know anything of it, it's been in my darkest hours the Lord has spoken to me. But he does speak. And he does draw near. And he brought down their heart with labour. And what did it do? They cried unto the Lord. And they knew the path of sanctification. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Here is the redeemed of the Lord. We read of this in the 50th of Isaiah. The prophet there speaks of the pathway of God's dear children. And remarkably, speaking of the right way, he says this: Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. It leads us to this word here, you know. They cried unto the Lord. They stayed upon their God. They came into the reality of the pathway of wrestling prayer. Jacob at Peniel cried unto the Lord. And he said to his God, I'll not let thee go except they bless me. And we read this, he blessed him there. Faith in that only sacrifice that did for sin atone, to cast our eyes, to fix our hopes on Christ alone. The Lord brings his dear people into these solemn places that they may wrestle with him in sincerity and in truth. Not a prayer of formality, not a prayer of duty, but a prayer that is wrenched from the hearts of God's dear people. And what is the answer? You know, the answer, and this is the right way, break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. It is the Lord delivers a guilty soul from the chains of condemnation and the filth of sin and the darkness and the death. And with one word, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. We hear him so many times on earth. And the Pharisees knew something of the truth. When asked the question, who can forgive sins, they knew the answer: God only. But the very eternal Son of God that was before their eyes, they did not know. But a poor sinner knows Christ. And he knows that only through his precious blood and righteousness can a soul be delivered from the bondage of darkness. And the Lord speaks to his dear people, as he did to his disciples when he washed their feet, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. It is the prerogative of the Holy Spirit to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them powerfully in the heart of sinners. It is he who takes of that atoning love and blood and applies it in the soul. This is the right way. And it's not only in the days of justification, it is throughout their life. There's a first time, and there's many more times that the Lord comes and applies his precious blood in their hearts, and it's in answer to their cries. And the Lord has his own way of bringing them to a knowledge of their sin. He can bring you face to face, solemnly, and I've had this, with a never-ending eternity. What an effect that has. It has this effect, that we're brought to see and to feel the sins of a lifetime, and to come to see that only the glorious sacrifice of Christ in all its sufficiency can ever put away our sins and bring us into the possession of that peace of God which passeth all understanding. And that blessing is given in answer to Christ, not because of Christ, but as a result of Christ. In answer to those petitions, the Lord did it for Hezekiah. In love to my soul, thou hast delivered it, he said, from the pit of corruption. What had happened? Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Blessed experience he knew, and that was the very purpose that his affliction came upon him. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And the effect, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. Blessed pathway he walked in. And the effect was to bring him in cries to his God. And this is the right way. This is the way to glory. It is a way of trouble. It is a way of suffering. It is a way of sorrow. But we go on further and we come to this. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. And what is it? He commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds. When waves of trouble go over the lives of God's dear people, he commandeth. He commandeth and raiseth. He did in the case of Job. He commanded the stormy wind to rise in his life. What was the effect? I know that my Redeemer liveth. The Lord brought his dear servant to that blessed place. And the trouble? Why, they reeled to and fro. Their soul was melted. And what did the Lord do? He made the storm a calm. And the beauty of the truth that lies here, so the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. Where are they? They're resting in faith upon their God. Oh, like the men in the storm with Christ in the boat asleep. He arose and rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. Only he could do it. And only he can calm the storm of fear, doubt and temptation in our hearts. When we stagger like a drunken man and are our wits' end, we are dependent upon divine sovereignty to extend the scepter of mercy as Ahasuerus extended it to Esther, and to know that peace which passeth all understanding. Then they be quiet. I know what I'm speaking about. He gives quietness. And who can touch that? None. It abides in the souls of his dear people. Blessed pathway then for his dear church. And he maketh a storm a calm. And so he bringeth them to their desired haven. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And I believe that city of habitation is the desired haven of every member of his living family. Amen.
Hymn 1101, tune 653. Jesus, lead me by thy power, safe into the promised rest. Hide my soul within thy arms, make me lean upon thy breast. Thank you. 1101, tune 653.
Guide us in that straight and narrow way that leads to life. We are fools, but we come, Lord, as beggars to thy mercy seat and pray for more grace, that we may be still and know that thou art God. With our dear friends here and our dear brother at the desk, support, sustain, uphold, bless. We ask for Christ's sake. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.